This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We live in a country where college students are homeless and the fight is over whether to leave parking lots open so the students can sleep in their cars. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, inflation. The fresh data suggests that prices are staying in check. Let's consult, as we do many a Wednesday, with Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Hi there.
Good morning.
All right, so some fresh inflation, really not much this spring, even year to year. It looks on track with what policymakers tend to like.
It looks on track, perhaps a little bit lighter than people expected. But what it does raise is expectations about the Fed action, because we're still not hitting their inflation target.
Now, late in the week, a key piece of data comes our way. What are you looking at?
Later in the week, we are going to see the University of Michigan consumer confidence number. The confidence index is going to tell us how much impact the recent talks and negative talks about trade and trade prospects have impacted people's confidence in our local economy.
Susan Schmidt at Aviva Investors, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So we'll hear about consumers on Friday. Yesterday, it was small business owners feeling increasingly optimistic. 62% said they're hiring if they can find qualified people. This morning, there's a new survey out showing expectations for a recession are rising among leaders of big business. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Duke University regularly surveys more than 500 U.S. and foreign CFOs. That's chief financial officers. Economist John Graham calls them
the numbers people. We want to know what their hiring plans are, what their spending plans are.
In the U.S., those plans were rosy back in the fall, but since then, we've seen
a continued decline in CFO optimism and their general business plans. Approximately half think we will be in a recession 12 months from now.
There is still a lot of strength left in the U.S. economy, says Rob Hayworth at U.S. Bank, with low unemployment and a tight job market. But
we're clearly, from a business leader's perspective, late in this economic cycle. The tax cuts are behind us. There's not a lot of lift to help them out in their businesses as they look forward.
The Duke survey finds CFOs outside the U.S. are even more downbeat about future economic growth, as global trade tensions and tit-for-tat tariffs take their toll. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Attorneys general from 10 states have together filed a federal lawsuit to block a merger between the competing mobile phone companies, T-Mobile and Sprint. The states say the deal would leave only three major wireless carriers with Verizon and AT&T, and customers would suffer with less competition. Keith Snyder is an equity analyst for CFRA Research.
They're afraid that given the ability to raise prices, that it's actually going to have a disproportionate effect on lower income customers in the states in question.
Sprint and T-Mobile say the deal would jumpstart the coming superfast 5G wireless network. Now, the FCC has signaled its approval of the merger, but the U.S. Justice Department still hasn't made a decision. Ahead of that, the states are acting.
It's very much unprecedented for states to challenge one deal of this size when the DOJ hasn't actually ruled on it yet.
Sprint stock fell 6% yesterday, T-Mobile down 2% yesterday. There are also antitrust questions being asked about other tech companies, including Facebook and Google. The Wall Street Journal today is reporting that Google, preparing for that fight, has just dumped about a half dozen lobbying firms as part of an overhaul of its influence campaign in Washington. You know Marketplace is a source you trust for information about the economy and how it affects our lives. We're also a nonprofit news organization, and we're counting on listeners like you to support this kind of journalism. Any donation helps, but if you give $30 right now, it'll be matched dollar for dollar by another one of our generous supporters, the Candida Fund. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org, and thank you. California legislators are grappling with a problem that's vexing many of the country's colleges and universities. Many of the students are homeless. From KPCC in Los Angeles, Adolfo Guzman Lopez reports.
Cypress Community College student Selena Jaimez Davila says many people and things made her graduation possible, including her four-door 2002 Honda Civic. Her car got her through 2.5 months of homelessness.
I used to sleep in the back seat, and then as you could see, it's not that big. So it's like definitely like I was always like in a little ball.
According to one survey, 19% of California Community College students are homeless or have trouble paying the rent. Temple University's Sarah Goldrick Rabb led that study. She found similar results, though at lower percentages, in Chicago, Dallas, and New York.
There's one place I visited in Dallas where the campus would like to let students park on the campus, but they had a shooting a few years ago.
So securing the parking lots became a stumbling block, she says. California is also considering a parking lot fix. A bill authored by State Assemblyman Mark Berman would require community colleges to open their parking lots at night so their homeless students can sleep in their cars.
This bill is the next logical step in helping our homeless students.
But there's pushback, in part because of the money. California community colleges could end up paying $36 million for security and administration. Larry Galizio is president of the group that represents California community college presidents.
It's not a short-term solution. It's a short-term Band-Aid.
The long-term solution, Galizio and others say, is to build more affordable housing and increase aid for low-income community college students. The state estimates the student aid increase alone would cost more than $2 billion over 5 years. Meeting California's housing needs would be even more expensive. Selena Jaimez Davila says it would have been great if her campus had opened its parking lot.
I would have gotten more hours of sleep. I would have felt safer. I wouldn't have had to, like, you know, kind of in a way sneak around.
But she made it work. This fall, she's transferring to a university 200 miles away to study mechanical engineering. She plans to take out loans to rent a room in an apartment with other college students. In Los Angeles, I'm Adolfo Guzman Lopez for Marketplace.
Something big here in 2019, buying houses, fixing them up, and selling them fast. The big investment firm KKR has just put $250 million into a company called Turek Capital. It lends money to house flippers. I'm David Brancaccio's The Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.